Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the field train and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To the streets we go. Oh, Aaron.
Oh, Todd.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man. I'm at Santa Monica College. I got a guy. His name's Samir. He's a Muslim. He was raised Muslim. That's what he believes, and he said he's going to die a Muslim.
Well, I guess we should just move on to the next guy. What do you say, Ray?
All right, you ready? He's got to go. This guy's got work.
So, Todd, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on with you? Hey, so you're a Muslim?
Yes, I'm Muslim.
You're born a Muslim?
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay, can you tell me what would I get out of becoming a Muslim?
Are you a religious person already?
I'm a Christian, yeah.
You're a Christian? And you believe very... What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, you're passionate for your religion, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and do you believe that you're a good Christian?
No.
No?
No.
No?
Well, Absolutely, Islam is open for... You mean, Samir, you're saying, am I genuine as a Christian? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I am. You either are or you're not.
Yeah, all right, so, you wasn't sure for a second. You was laughing and stuff, man. I don't know.
Samir, I asked you a question, and somehow it got a turnaround. So, what do I get out of becoming a Muslim?
You're on your way. You're on the path to heaven. I mean...
Are you going to heaven for sure?
Huh?
Are you going to heaven for absolute certainty?
Not for sure.
Samir, you're saying it could be a path to hell that you're on.
No, what I'm saying, sir, if you live your life according to God's words, and if you read the Quran and you do what he says and all that stuff, and you're just overall a good person, then, of course, you know, it's up to God. It's God's decision if you go to heaven or not.
Okay.
I mean, nobody could say you're going to hell. Nobody could say you're going to heaven, da-da-da-da-da, except the person above.
You know what I get out of being a Christian?
What do you get out of being a Christian, sir?
I've got everlasting life, for certain. I'm not on my path to anywhere. I've got it.
Everlasting life?
Absolutely. Samir, are you in a windy area?
Yeah, I'm on the Santa Monica campus right now, man.
Can you get out of the wind and hold your hand over the phone so the wind isn't blowing into it because it's sounding like you're in a hurricane?
It's not bothering us, Ray. Entirely delightful to listen to this.
All right, can you gentlemen hear me now?
I can hear you now. That's a little better. The wind doesn't seem too bad.
Okay.
It's still got a noise there.
That's just me.
Oh, bro.
Is that you, Todd?
No.
Oh. Samir?
Yes, sir.
When you're a Christian, it's not dependent on you being good. It's not dependent on you doing anything. You've got everlasting life the moment you become a Christian, guaranteed for sure. And that's the difference between being a Christian and being a Muslim.
You see, Todd, I talk in the
name's Ray.
Never said anything about everlasting life. Everlasting means something that's never going to go away. I mean, everybody has to die one day. And we as Muslims believe in the day of judgment.
So how are you going to do on that day?
On that day, depends how I live my life right now. I mean, honestly, I'm trying to be the best Muslim I can be.
So
pray five times a day and all that good stuff. And then on Fridays, go to Jummah, my local mosque, everything.
Samir?
Yeah, sir.
Are you basically a good person?
Yeah, I try to live my life as a good person.
Okay, well,
all of us aren't perfect, though, Todd. I know, you know, me and you might get on the rock. Or for a second and whatnot. But,
Samir,
you know, we try.
Just one little thing. Sir. My name's not Todd. My name's Ray.
What's wrong with Todd?
Todd's another guy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Todd. The other guy told me your name was Todd.
Yeah, no, it's Ray. So,
because
there's actually two of us listening to you.
Oh, all right.
Samir,
what's up to the other guy? What's the other guy's name?
Todd.
Todd, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah,
sure. Todd and Ray, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Samir, let me give you just a little scenario before we go any further with this, because it's so important. I want to establish something in your mind. If someone's a guilty criminal and they stand before a judge and they're guilty of a terrible crime and it's $1 million fine, it's so serious, and the criminal says, Judge, I am guilty, but I'm really sorry and I'll never do it again. The judge isn't going to let him go because he has to pay the fine. Just because
he's...
Okay?
Exactly.
If the judge is good, he won't let him go. He's got a fine to pay. Okay, now let's see if you're a good person. I'm going to ask you 3 or 4 questions, maybe 5. Are you ready?
All right. Yes.
Samir, have you ever told a lie?
Have you ever told a lie? Of course, all of us lie.
Okay, now what do you call
someone... And those who say they don't lie are lying.
Attaboy. What do you call someone who tells a lie?
What do you call somebody who tells a lie?
Yeah, what are they called? If I told a lie, what would you call me?
I'd call you a liar, sir.
Have you ever stolen something?
No, I haven't.
You sure? In your whole life, yes, sir, even if it's small? You're not lying to me?
I haven't, sir. I ain't got nothing on my record. You know, the cops don't have nothing on me, sir.
No, it's not the cops. I'm saying, have you ever stolen something? I didn't say, have you been caught? I said, have you ever taken something that belongs to someone else, even if it's small?
Oh, no, sir. I haven't.
Well, that's commendable. Have you ever used God's name in vain, even once in your life?
Yes, I have.
Okay, now that's
I have been subject to that.
Okay, that's called blasphemy, and it's very serious when you use God's name as a cuss word. And Jesus said, the prophet Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
And you said Prophet Isa said that? Have I ever looked at a woman with lust?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, sir. I love women.
Okay, well, Jesus said you've committed adultery in your heart in the eyes of God. So listen to this, Samir. You're not a good person. You're a lying, thieving, well, you haven't stolen, a blasphemous adulterer of heart.
All right.
Okay?
Hey, Ray, you're a funny gentleman. You know that?
Yeah, well, sin is very...
I know it's the radio. I know both of you are radio personnel. You try to flip stuff on people and all that good stuff. But, you know, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to take it with stride. I'm just going to brush it off my shoulders, sir.
Yeah, well, listen to this. Let me finish, and then you can brush it off your shoulder.
All right.
Samir, you're a self-admitted liar, blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day, as you said. So what are you going to say to Almighty God, whose name you used as a cuss word? What are you going to say to him?
What am I going to say to God?
Yeah, how are you going to justify yourself? You've lied and blasphemed and committed adultery in your heart.
Sorry, to be honest with you, at the end of the day, it's God's decision. Regardless of what you say, you could beg, you could cry, you could do all this stuff. If God chooses to forgive you, you're going to go to heaven. If He doesn't choose to forgive you, you will go to hellfire.
Well, the Bible tells us.
And I'm just trying to spread my message. I'm saying, I know you're talking about the Bible and all that stuff. You know, I respect everyone's religion and whatnot, but you should crack open the Quran and read through that as well.
Well, let me finish because
this is on the radio.
This is so important, Samir.
Sirius Satellite Radio. Yeah, yeah, sir.
You're listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
The Bible says, all liars are their part in the lake of fire. No thief or blasphemer or adulterer will enter God's kingdom. So
you're giving me what the Bible is saying. I'm mm-hmm. Muslim. I go by what the Quran says. Mm-hmm. The Bible to us was revealed during a past time, and it was a credible book at that time, but it has been changed around so many times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, different variations, different versions for different sects of Christians.
So what are you going to say to God on Judgment Day, Samir? What are you going to say to him? Why should you enter heaven? Why should you be forgiven? Tell me.
Sir, we believe on Judgment Day, God is not going to ask you why should you be forgiven, da-da-da. He's going to let what you have done throughout your whole life speak for itself. We believe we have angels on both our sides, invisible angels, on our right and our left. They take down, the right angel takes down all the good deeds you've done. Mm-hmm. The left angel takes down all the bad deeds you've done. They tally it up, and they present it to God on the day of judgment.
Well, Shamia, try that in a court of law.
And your body parts also talk.
Excuse
I don't know
me?
If you. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but we believe that our body parts will talk as well and say, you know, what harm we've conflicted with them. Like our hands will talk, and they'll speak for us. I mean, you're gonna be so stunned. I mean, sir, you
Shamia,
act like, you know, God's
Shamia.
Gonna be in front of you in a manly shape. God is something that we can't even imagine.
Shamia,
imagine how God looks like or anything like that. I don't
Shmooly.
Believe God is. Yeah,
Shamia. Yeah. Listen to this. If you stand in a criminal court before a good judge, you've gone back to the wind, before a good judge, your good deeds aren't going to outweigh your crimes.
Sir, are you comparing God to a judge?
He's far more holy than a civil
exactly,
judge.
Exactly, but you keep using the scenario as God would be a judge.
Well, Shamia, you cannot bribe God by your good works to forgive your sins. You cannot. He'll not be bribed. You'll
exactly.
not pervert eternal justice.
You.
So why are you saying... praying five times a day and doing good deeds and living a good life is going to cause God to wash away your sins. It will not happen.
No, 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 sir. You have me messed up.
How are you going to be forgiven?
Ray or Todd, one of y'all throwing off the other. I think one of y'all doing something. But what I said is we pray five times a day because that's what God tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
The best way you can live your life is to listen to what God says and read the Quran, read your hadith, you know. I mean, basically, get examples of what happened and what God has said for you to do. You could participate in those actions. I mean, I know bad people who pray as well. That doesn't mean that they're going to be forgiven for all their sins.
You are a bad person, Shamia.
Nah, sir, I think you're a bad person.
I'm a bad person, yes.
Hold on. Todd, Ray or Todd, I'm speaking for a second. Let me speak, and then I'll let you speak. All right, my man?
Sure.
Okay, for sure. That's how we going to do it, all right? I have my other Muslim brother right here. He goes by the name of Ashraf.
he wants to talk to you as well.
Yeah, we've only got about 30 seconds.
Hello?
Oh, boy. Hey,
hello.
Dude. Okay, we'll let Aaron clean up that mess. Okay, I couldn't stand it on multiple levels for many reasons. Ray.
Todd.
This is what will it take to... That conversation could go on for 6 months, and all you would end up with is a black and blue head.
Mm-hmm.
What should we be... I mean, the dynamic is weird. The radio, he doesn't know who he's talking to. The is going on.
Uh-huh.
What will help this fellow?
Tell me, Todd.
Well, the only thing that I thought is if the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. can convince him of sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come.
Mm-hmm.
That... And to just hammer on that issue, because full of self-righteousness, I'm a good person, you're the bad guy, I'm full of self-righteousness, earning my way to heaven, to argue about the Quran, the Hadith, the New Testament is corrupt and we've got the better prophet. You could do that for years. The only thing, Ray, I can think of with somebody self-righteous like that is to just try to bang the law on them, or the possibility is, and this is the horrifying one, is that he might be, and you hate this because you love to think anybody is could be saved, but he might be past that, and he has let his heart get completely hardened. Yikes. My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Masters Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Masters Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you much for joining us. Glad you would spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And glad you would share your wretched stories with us at idea@wretched.org. Always love to hear from you. Like this one. Hello, Wretched. That's what our friends call us. When I found Wretched, I was already aware what a complete wretch I was. I didn't realize there was an entire Christian community that was publicly willing to admit the same. I've watched your show faithfully for 5 years and have been led to contribute to a couple of your ministry outreaches and am now a partner in your online ministry as well. I am blessed to call you all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Have a blessed day, Christine. And we are blessed to have you as a partner and a sister in Christ. If you're a gospel partner, thank you much for making emails like this possible. If you're not, would you consider it? If you're able, go to wretched.org/donate and become a Wretched monthly gospel partner and help make more emails like this possible. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If in you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Aaron the actor.
Oh, I just got done with the conversation with Samir.
I told you that would go on for days.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that.
Oh,
but...
he was. This was, if you're just joining us, Aaron, the actor, was out in the streets, and you found Samir, the Muslim, who was very filled with himself, pride, self-righteousness. Sure, he was going to be acceptable to Allah, saying his prayers, doing his deal. And Aaron, we talked about the only thing that could just bang through that type of defense is getting to his conscience. How'd you do?
I tried it, and he was like, oh, he's like, yo, you're G on the radio. Yo, he tried getting me to do that effing thing, and la, 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 la.
He cussed? So I was, did he cuss?
Well, people don't really say effing thing, but yes, he cussed.
Whoa.
And so,
Aaron,
and so
we
I was talking
we don't know whether to bleep that out or not, Todd.
Oh, yikes. You know, but these days on television, I think that word can actually be used. Isn't that a lovely progress we have made? So did he make any headway with him?
Todd, it's got to be between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Oh, never. Then it's fine.
Mm-hmm. And it's got to be in the context of the story.
Oh, yes. Because otherwise I wouldn't be able to really get what they're trying to put. How did they do it in the old days without swear words?
It was silent movies.
I see. So did you get anywhere with the fellow?
I realized I kept going through the commandments, and he saw that, he was like, well, they tried doing that, and I know. So nothing was really kind of hitting, and I was going on rabbit trails about the Bible, and I was like, wait a second. I was like, well, here's where we stand. But the thing is, like, I just got right to salvation, and they're like, we don't believe in salvation. And kind of at the end, they were a little bit quiet. They started to be a little bit more quiet. I started talking about salvation, and they're just trying to, like, I don't know, but that's the only place I got where they were.
So you
quiet.
Went through the pearl, did you?
Yes.
I see.
Well, we were getting ready to change your name to Aaron the Martyr.
We were a little concerned for you.
Uh-huh. Thanks.
You had two upset Muslims with you.
All right, here's your next guy back at Santa Monica College. His name is Will. He was growing up Catholic.
All righty.
That's all I got. Here's Will.
Will the Catholic. Ray, take over.
Free Will.
Hello?
Will, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Good. Where you from, Will?
I'm from Santa Monica right here.
From Santa Monica?
California.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Will,
all right.
Will, can I ask you a question? Do you ever read the Bible?
Yeah, sure. Say it again?
Have you ever read the Bible?
Yes.
So what do you think its message is?
I think, to me, the Bible represents basic laws that maybe will help most people out to live their life to the best of their capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see nothing in it that's wrong. Everything I pretty much I learned from it.
You don't see anything in the Bible that's wrong. So... have you ever been born again?
Say it again.
Have you been born again?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Tell me what happened.
Well, I changed completely from the person I used to be in the past. So it took a lot for me to make that big change for a long time. A lot of things holding me back.
Yeah.
And caused me a lot of trouble. And for me, hello?
Yeah, Will, I'd like some details of how the change came about. I mean, some people change their clothes.
Okay, people in have helped me out along the way, or try to help me out of the situations that I created for myself.
Yeah.
And those people didn't need to do that, but all those people chose to do it, and all those people believed in some kind of God. And to me, that represents, the true God, which to me is the human heart and the compassion it has to help others.
So you were born again. What happened? What led up to you being born again?
Well, let's say this. I was in prison, and it wasn't my first time. And I didn't care at the time about being in there. But then I just chose to look around my family and myself and what it was doing to me. And I decided that I was hurting out of anybody, myself and my family, more than anybody else. And I didn't want to do that no longer.
Right. Yeah, and then what happened?
And then I stopped doing the actions that I did that got me where I was.
So, and you were born again?
Yeah.
What happened to be born again? You just stopped doing bad things?
I grew a conscience. I grew remorse.
You grew a conscience?
That was a bigger thing. Before, I could do anything, whenever, to anybody and feel no remorse about it. I can no longer do that.
Okay. So, did Jesus have anything to do with this?
Yes.
Well, tell me about it. What did he have to do with it?
Well, I chose to follow his rules and his teachings, and that's what he did.
So, Will, did someone tell you the gospel? Did they explain to you the plan of salvation, and then you became a Christian, you were born again? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. So, could you tell me the plan of salvation?
The plan is whatever plan you find best for yourself and whatever we thought for you. Everybody has a different path that they choose to live or go by.
Okay, let me see if I can guess what happened. Someone came in and said to you, if you give your life to Jesus, things will go better.
Something like that.
Okay, well, let's start at square one. Do you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you some questions. And what those questions will do is help you understand what the issues are when it comes to being a Christian, okay?
Okay.
We're going to go through some of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie?
Have I or am I now?
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, now what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you call someone who steals?
Thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Never?
No.
Well, that's great. Jesus said whoever looks at a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah.
Okay, so listen to this, Will. You're not a good person. You're like the rest of us. You're a self-admitted liar, a thief, and an adulterer at heart. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, if God judges you...
But those things I did in my past, I no longer do them now.
Yeah, but everything we do is in the past.
Yeah.
Nothing we do is in the future. Everything's in the past. So yeah. Just because you've done something in the past doesn't mean to say that God forgives you. It's irrelevant. Okay?
Well, in my book, it does.
It does?
Yeah.
Well, in a court of law, it doesn't. If you stand in front of a judge and say...
Okay, the core law is different from God's teachings. They're just different... separate institutions.
Okay, now explain to me why you are forgiven those sins.
Why what?
Why are you forgiven? Why are they no longer remembered when God says, I'll not forget their sins?
Say that again.
Why are your sins forgiven?
Because I asked for forgiveness.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's how simple it is.
It is? So anyone can just say, God forgive me, and God just forgives?
Yeah, and be intentional about it, yeah.
Will, when did you last read your Bible?
Sunday.
Sunday. And what's today?
Today is...
Thursday. Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, sorry. So you've gone 3-4 days. Look, let me explain to you something that's very important. If you can keep the wind out of that phone, it will really help it making a bad noise on the radio. The Bible says God just doesn't forgive sins. He doesn't just forgive sins because we ask him to. He forgives sins because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. When Jesus was on the cross, the sin of the world was laid upon him. Remember when you were in court and you're in debt to the law and you have to go to prison or pay a big fine? Imagine if someone stepped in and paid the fine for you. Then the judge can let you go. Well, that's what God did for humanity 2,000 years ago. He provided the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who would take the punishment for the sin of the world. Okay? When Jesus died on the cross, he took your punishment, then he rose from the dead. And for someone to be forgiven, they not only repent, they must put their faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When their trust is in Jesus Christ, then they'll be born again. And Will, there are a lot of people who have what the Bible calls false conversions, spurious conversions. And I'm very concerned for you that you've got all the signs of a false conversion. You don't see your own sin. You think you're a good person. You haven't been reading your Bible. You have no understanding of the plan of salvation. So think of your past sins. Think of Jesus dying for you on the cross. Get before the Lord and repent from your heart. Put your faith in Jesus and then read your Bible daily. And until you show that you've got an obedient heart that comes out of genuine repentance, you can have no assurance that you're saved. The Bible says he gives eternal salvation to all those that obey him. You don't earn everlasting life by your obedience, but you show that you've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit by having an obedient heart to God. Todd, would you like to say something to Will?
Does that make sense to you, Will?
Yes.
It does. Okay, Will, Hey, we don't know you, but we would simply encourage you to do something today. The issue of understanding our nature and our sinfulness is so important. And if you don't understand how sinful you are, then God's grace and Jesus dying on the cross isn't all that important to you. But when you understand how sinful you are, then grace becomes truly amazing, and you stop living for yourself and you start living for God. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for talking to us today.
All right, man.
Goodbye. Yeah. It is our hope here on Wretched Radio that these witness encounters that you hear every week will be helpful to you, that you will be able to use these, that you will be able to apply these. Take the good, leave the bad. If you think we did a stinker of a job, don't do it that way. If you think we did anything good, then take it and find yourself a sinner and use it, that somebody would get saved and Jesus would get the full reward for his suffering. This is Wretched Radio.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish is out on the streets. Where exactly are you, Trish?
I'm actually at an Islamic mosque. It's called the Mosque of Abraham.
You're there with the imam.
I am. It's an imam. It's spelled I-M-A-M, and they're basically what, you know, Christians would call, you know, the pastor, the preacher. They're the leader of Islamic groups. Mm-hmm. His name is Abdul Muhammad. And here at this temple, it's about 37,000 square feet, so it's quite large. And their area where they meet is about 10,000 square feet, and they don't have any chairs. They actually gave me a tour of the whole building. They don't have any chairs in their meeting room. They just all sit down on the ground, and that's where they have their worship service. Mm-hmm. And this particular imam, Abdul Muhammad, has been an imam for 23 years. He was born in Yemen, and moved here when he was 3 years old, so he speaks English really well, very easy to understand. Mm-hmm. They've been very welcoming to myself, and like I said, has given me a tour, so it should be really interesting. I'm going to walk on into his office. Do you have any questions first?
No, I appreciate that. Inside of the, as you're walking, though, is there a special place for, do the women sit in the back, men in the front during the...
Actually, there is a room. There's a special room, an overflow room for the women.
Yep.
And also, right when you walk in, like right now I'm outside, so that, you know, they really can't hear what I'm saying. But as I walk in, it says no shoes beyond this point. So once I go in there, I've got to remove my shoes. I can't walk into the meeting place, nor his office. We're going to be interviewing in the imam's office. Mm-hmm. I have to have my shoes off. And the lady that gave me the tour, Alia, who's kind of like the secretary of this mosque, she won't shake your hands or anything of that nature. I guess it's not kosher. I didn't know anything like that. So
really,
yeah. So they won't do that. And so I'm gonna walk on in. Okay.
Oh, I'm not sure kosher is the right term, but well, I'm curious to find out. Let's ask about the shoes business in the imam's office and the handshaking. Ray, can we do a little preliminary? Let's learn about Islam today.
Of course.
Hello,
Abdul. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
It's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us. We're honored to have you on, especially a man of your status. You're an imam?
Yes, I am, and thank you for having me on your show, and hopefully we'll enjoy ourselves during this time.
Oh, that's great. Now, could you tell me, what's the advantage of me becoming a Muslim? What do I get out of it?
Well, We all seek something that brings happiness to our life, and from my experience as being a Muslim, I've sensed that Islam has allowed me to understand life to where I'm always happy. So when I'm trialed, I know that God wants to trial me to get me closer to Him, and when He's giving me bounties and He's blessing me with His gifts, I know that this is a reward of my patience and efforts in life. So regardless of what my life is going through, I know it's best for me. And, you know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has said in one of his sayings, he said, it's amazing the status of a believer. Everything within his life is for his sake, and it's good for him. If he's trialed and tested, he is rewarded for his patience and for his trial. And if he's gifted and blessed, then he's appreciative and he's thankful for that, and he's rewarded. So,
when rotten things happen to you, is it because you've done something wrong?
No, not necessarily at all. Sometimes the Lord will just test you to see the strength of your faith. And in fact, there's a saying that the prophet said, God tests people based on their faith, and the most that are tested are the closest people to him.
Abdul, I heard you just say the Lord. Is that in reference to whom?
The Lord is the creator, the sustainer. In the Arabic language, we call him Allah. But the word Allah just means the one worthy of worship. So any word synonym to that in any kind of language that is the worthy of worship and it only means one, then that's the Lord.
So real happiness comes from being a Muslim, true happiness. Is that what you're saying?
Happiness comes from becoming a Muslim, settlement in the heart becomes a Muslim. You know, not many people that are Muslims actually go to psychiatrists, you know. We deal with stress probably, I think, much better, or I know I deal with stress much better than if I was something else. And it's a clear mind. It lets me understand the nature of God fully, with no confusion, because I know he's only one and one only, and he has no need of a wife or a child for support, or he doesn't need us as human beings. We need him.
Okay, and Todd, did you want to say something?
Heart. Hi, Abdul. My name is Todd.
Yes, Todd.
I want to thank you, too, sir, for joining us on the program. Could you realize we're Christians, correct?
Yes, I do.
Is Allah, as you understand him, the same as the Christian God?
Christianity and Judaism and Islam all came from one Lord, which is the creator of the universe.
But would you say we worship the same God?
Well, you'll have to define what you're worshiping. Now, if you're worshiping Jesus, then it is not the same God. If you're worshiping Mary, it's not the same God. If you're worshiping more than one, the Trinity, we are not worshiping the same God.
But would you say that
in God we trust in the sense of, the God, the creator, the sustainer, the father of all, then it is the same God.
Okay. Now, Abdul, you said that Islam brings you happiness. Let's say that I came to you and I said, Imam, I'm thinking about becoming a Muslim, and you said, well, it'll bring you happiness. And if I said to you, sir, I am happy, I'm really wealthy, my wife is great, my kids are superstars, my job couldn't be better, I am set up for life, I don't see any reason to become a Muslim, what would you say to me then?
Well, happiness is not about the monetary issues that you have in your life. I mean, we are all made up of spirit, souls, spirit, and body. And you can make your body pleasant by feeding it and with money in your life and a beautiful wife in your life and excel children. But your soul, the inner feelings, your spirit needs nutrition itself, and that nutrition comes from the faith, and that's
Let me just role play with you, sir. Let me role play with you a little bit, all right, sir?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I'm not feeling it. I got to tell you, I'm happy. I don't know what you're referring to. My soul, I don't know of anybody who's more content, more at peace, more at ease, more fulfilled than I am.
And I'm happy that you are happy, and hopefully, Islam will enhance that more and clear your mind of your understandings of your faith in your life in this world and why you were brought to it. And it will clear also the understandings of God himself in your life to where you know that, okay, there's only one that I will pray to and ask, and there's only one that can harm me. Nothing in this world can harm me.
Okay, basically your approach would be it'll make me even happier.
It'll make you even happier and more settled in this life. Yes, absolutely.
There's a Muslim-shaped hole in your heart, Todd. That's what he's trying to say.
All righty.
Yep.
Okay, Abdul, let me still play the rich guy who's quite content in life, all right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sir, what's going to happen to me when I die?
Well, when one dies, they will be accountable to all their actions that they did in life. We will stand one day. We believe in a day of judgment, and that day we'll all stand in front of God, and he will ask us on everything that we have done in life. And, mm-hmm. Our sins will be counted, our good deeds will be counted, and hopefully then the blessings of the Lord will be a way for the forgiveness of the sins, and we'll be forgiven.
So but it's we will kind be, of a scale we'll, system.
It's a scale system. Yes, right. We believe that there is a scale on the day of judgment, to okay. where the good and the bad is scaled. But
Abdul,
then at the end,
you,
we hope that his forgiveness will overwhelm all of our sins.
Okay. And Abdul, how do you think the scale is going to tip for you?
Well, I have strong hope that the Lord will forgive. I'm not a perfect man, and I don't know if I can be considered one that has succeeded, but I hope. I strive in life to be as good as I can. I strive to please the Lord as much as I can, and I abide by his laws. Okay. I try to avoid committing anything that will anger him.
Okay, you're hopeful, but you're not certain.
And nobody can be certain in life because, you know, we all are humans. We do commit sins. Mm-hmm. There's nobody immune from sins in life. We believe as Muslims, everybody will commit a sin sometime or another in his life, minor or major. And when you're committing a sin towards the Lord himself, you need to fear that sin, even though you have stronger hope than fear, that he will forgive you. So we believe that the Lord will forgive. But at the same token, you know, if I made a mistake with my father, I would be cautious to look him eye to eye that I did actually what I did. And the Lord is more greater in my heart than my father or anyone in my life.
All right.
And when I do commit something that is wrong, you know, I don't look forward at that moment after I do it, that I look eye to eye to the Lord. But then I remember that he also called himself the all-forgiving.
All right.
So I pray that he
Abdul,
forgives and I repent.
Okay, Abdul, we've only got a couple of seconds, so we're going to take a break. And we're going to come back right after the break because we'd love to spend some more minutes with you.
Oh, absolutely. Right? No problem.
Abdul,
yeah.
real quick, Trish had mentioned that before coming into your office, she had to take off her shoes. Is that correct?
Not the office.
Oh, okay.
The prayer area.
The prayer area. Okay, because I thought it was inside of your office. And then real, very, very quickly, why do the women have to have a separate place to sit during the service?
No, they don't have to have a separate place to do the service.
So they can be in the same area as the men?
Yeah, actually in our mosque they are in the same area, but we do also have a separate area for them for those who are nursing their
okay.
children.
Okay, is that kind of a progressive? Is that kind of a more of a progressive approach to it?
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
the Prophet's mosque did not have any curtain or any walls in between. They were together.
All right, very good. Sit tight just for a second because, well, I'm learning something here on Wretched Radio. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
A young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
If you love Don't Stub Your Toe, and really who didn't, with its thorough gospel presentation, then you're going to love Wretched's newest evangelistic booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? This booklet is perfect if you fear that someone you know is a false convert or that there may be false converts in your church. Are You a Rotten Fish is an informative booklet about true and false conversions. In other words, wheat and tares, wise virgins and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct response of repent and trust versus, well, really all the incorrect responses. All you have to do is hop on your phone or favorite computing device and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies today. So, who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Visit wretched.org/fish to get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish today. That's wretched.org/fish.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers, believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means "the Lord comforts," brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish is with the Imam right now. Trish, how are you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing well. I'm walking right over to Imam Abdul Muhammad. We've been having an interesting discussion about the other countries like Saudi Arabia, for example, and if you were to speak about Christianity maybe out in public or have an open Christian church, that there would be maybe persecution or things of that nature. And he was kind of explaining a little bit as to why that's the case. But here's Abdul to continue talking to you.
All right, Ray, give it your best evangelical shot, sir.
Hello?
Abdul, thank you for staying with us. I was very interested to hear what you said earlier on, that you said that God would work all things out together for good to those that are called according to his purposes. And you said that he'll give lasting and true happiness. Abdul, you mentioned the day's coming, the day of judgment, when God will, all our sins will be counted. That's a scary day, isn't it?
Yes, it is, actually. And even if our sins were not going to be counted, it's still a scary day because, you know, you're going to face the Lord for the first time, face to face. And he knows what you have done in the past, and he knows what you were thinking during your life.
Is he perfect? Is he holy?
Oh, absolutely. God is perfect and holy and has to be perfect. There's no fault that comes to him. He knows what was and what is and what's to become. That is his clear knowledge as we know our name.
Okay,
Abdul. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves.
Absolutely. He's our creator. Abdul, let me put a scenario before you because it's very relevant to what we want to talk about when it comes to standing before God in judgment. If I'm a guilty criminal and I stand before a judge condemned for violating the law, very serious crimes, and there's a million-dollar fine that the judge levels at me. It's so serious. He says, if you can't pay this fine, you're going to prison. And I say, Judge, I know I'm guilty. You're a good man. Your judgment has been right and true altogether. But I want to say, Judge, I'm very sorry for what I've done, and I won't do it again. If the judge is a good man, he'll not let the criminal go because he's sorry and he won't do it again. If the judge is a good man, he must see that justice is done. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
Of course, if you and I have violated the law and there's a $1 million fine, we should be sorry because we've done wrong, and of course we shouldn't do it again. And if a judge just forgets all about justice and overlooks crime and doesn't care about justice, he's not a good man. He's evil because he's there to strive to make sure that justice is done to the nth degree. So it's very important to realize that even in a civil court, just saying to a judge, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, won't cut the mustard. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Now, Abdul, when you stand before God, what's the standard God's going to judge you by? Have you any idea?
Yes, I do. Okay. The way we look at it as Muslims is that the sins are either committed towards fellow humans or the sins are committed towards the Lord himself.
Okay. So, for example,
you don't pray, that means you've committed your sin towards the orders of the Lord when he told you to pray to him and you did not. And in this situation, you know, they're all crimes. They're both crimes. You know, hurting a fellow human is a crime.
You mean like lying to people, stealing from them,
yeah,
committing
lying,
adultery?
Stealing, killing. And
oh, so you're talking about the Ten Commandments?
Yes, absolutely.
The law of Moses. Okay, well, let's just hold them up and see how you're going to do on the Day of Judgment, okay? Let's just hold up that standard for a moment, and we'll go through them, those commandments, mm-hmm. and see how you're going to do on the Day of Judgment. Okay, well, look at the ninth commandment. You shall not be a false witness. Have you ever told a lie?
No, I have not, except when I am scared for my wife.
Oh, so you have lied to your wife?
No, not a lie that's going to hurt the family. But sometimes she say, you didn't bring the milk. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I was late somewhere or whatever.
Wow. So you have lied. So, and you've probably lied to other people in your whole life sometime or other when you're a young man or whatever.
Hopefully I have not lied to where I have taken anyone's rights or hurt anyone's
okay,
feelings.
Okay, so you have lied. So what do you call someone who's told a lie?
That he has committed a sin.
Yeah, but what do you call it? Well, if I tell a lie, what am I called?
I would call that you have committed a sin, but I don't call you a liar, because a liar in Islam is when someone has taken the character and attitude of lying continuously, or given a lie under oath.
Well, you just take it in ordinary everyday life. In America or anywhere around the world, if you tell a lie, you're called a liar. Second question, have you ever stolen something in your home?
No, there's a difference when you tell somebody a liar to where it becomes, titles for him. That's a different issue. You don't. I mean, there isn't anyone in this world that hasn't lied.
How many lies make me a liar? 1, 3, 7?
There's no number that I can sit here and count, and neither can you.
Yes, I can. One lie would make me a liar. If I lied to my wife, I'm a liar. If I lied to you, I'm a liar. If I lied to my friends,
You mean to tell me you have not lied?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've broken those commandments, absolutely. So, have you ever stolen something in your life, Abdul?
Never.
Okay, are you sure you're not lying to me?
No, I have never stolen.
Okay. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No, I have not. Okay. I was raised in a religious family, and that's probably something that's good.
Okay. Now, the prophet Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever even once looked at a woman with lust?
No, I got married when I was 18.
Didn't ask when you got married. Have you ever in your life looked at a woman with lust?
No, I have not.
So in
Islam, we're also told that you do not gaze into a woman's face. In fact, we don't even shake hands.
If you don't even have to do that.
I don't shake hands of a woman.
Abdul?
Mm-hmm.
God is your witness. Have you ever looked at a woman in your life for sexual desire? Even your wife before?
Besides my wife, no, I have not.
Before you were married to her?
Before my wife, I lived in a dorm in a university where it was all males, so there was no females.
So we've met a man with a pure heart. So there's really bad.
No, not a pure heart.
So you're saying you have lusted?
Thoughts come to mind, but I have.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
You're asking me about looking at a woman with lust. No, that has not happened.
So have you ever had lustful thoughts?
Thoughts do come at times.
So you're saying you have lusted? Come on, Abdul.
Thoughts are different from looking and actually going towards
Jesus said that it's the imagination of the heart that God sees. And if you lust, the Bible says you're committing adultery in your heart. Didn't you realize that?
There isn't no human that have not thought of something at some
I am agreeing
time.
With you. I thought we'd found one. I thought you were the only one on the face of the earth.
No, absolutely not. I'm not here lying to you. You asked me a question. So have you looked at a woman with lust? I said, no, I have not.
So you in your heart, you've been lusting. Okay, well, I appreciate you being honest about that. So listen to this, Abdul. By your own admission, you're a liar and an adulterer at heart in the sight of God. You do have sins like the rest
of us.
Well,
we don't believe it. We don't believe it as an adulterer within the heart. No,
well,
that's how
God sees. Remember, you said he sees sins
very serious. You're giving me your principles in this. I'm looking at it Islamically. In Islam, we believe that God does not take us accountable of our inner thoughts until we act upon them.
So you can be filled with lust and pornographic thoughts and hatred, murder in your heart, and God doesn't take it into account?
No. See, you're exaggerating this and you're taking it out of proportion. You are not looking at it. Listen to what I'm saying. We all have that, like that screen thought in our minds of things that we should not be doing or things we should not be acting
well,
upon.
Well, we can't judge.
Those things we are not accountable for until you start acting to them or you want to act according to those thoughts. That's when they become wrong.
Abdul, on the day of judgment, you'll find that God is holy and perfect and righteous and judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. He doesn't stop at the outside act. He sees the thoughts and intent.
You know,
He's far greater than what you imagine.
My faith is different. My faith is different. In my faith, we have that until you want to or you start to act according to your thoughts, then you're accountable. Otherise, you are not.
So, Abdul, what are you going to do?
At the end of the day.
What are you going to do on the day of judgment when you stand before this God who said he'll bring all your sins will be counted? How are your sins going to be forgiven? How will you avoid hell?
Well, first of all, I repent in this life, and I always pray every single day.
But we've established
many times that God forgives me of sins that I've committed,
Abdul,
or sins that I committed in not knowing.
Abdul, we've already established that even in civil law, if a judge just forgives you because you're sorry, he's not a good judge. He's not upholding the law.
See, you did not let me finish my phrase at then. I told you that the sins are two kinds. Now, when I sin towards the fellow humans, I am accountable to that. I have to pay for those sins. Either in this life or in the hereafter, because God does not forgive your faults against your fellow humans unless that human being does forgive you. And that's why we say in Islam, if you've done something wrong towards a person, you go and ask that person for forgiveness. But when you commit a sin towards the Lord is entitled to forgive if he wills. And that's what we mean by repenting.
All sin is against God.
Day in and day out for forgiveness.
All sin is against God. And telling God you're sorry won't remit your sins. You cannot have sin forgiven just because you say, Judge, I'm sorry.
Well, in Islam we do. In Islam we do.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
You're asking me now what I believe in within my faith or within your faith.
All right. Hey, Abdul. Sir, we've come to the end of our time. I want to thank you very much for joining us, sir.
Oh, absolutely.
Appreciate it very much. It was very enlightening. It's not often that you get to hear somebody proclaim their own goodness to the point of being perfect. It's called self-righteousness. And God does indeed judge the intentions of the heart. Everything will be laid bare on Judgment Day for Abdul, for you, for me, for everybody. And if you do not have a payment for your sins, you will be found wanting. The good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ paid your fine. Until next time, go serve your King.